Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2024 FedEx St. Jude's Classic, the first leg of the FedEx Cup's playoffs. We're down to no-cut events. You know how we feel about that, but we'll get to that in a minute. And we might recap a little bit of the Wyndham and more, but you can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well on a Monday. Missed last week, unfortunately, but we're back at it here for a field of 70 and a no-cut. And like I said at the beginning when we were talking off air, at least I'm not Matt Kuchar, so life is pretty good.
What a bizarre ending that was. I bet Aaron Rye pre-tournament, so I totally forgot about that until one of my buddies texted me about Grazerman's finish, which his back nine there was eagle, double par, birdie, double bogey, par par to finish.
That's a rough. That's like a scorecard I could put together minus the eagle. Yeah. But
I guess he was up like four shots or something, probably after the eagle and then double par. I mean, just a nutty ending. And then, yeah, and then Kuchar hits into Aaron Rye as he's getting ready to hit his shot as he's leading the tournament into the green. I mean, the fact that they even got the thing in 3 days is impressive. Like the amount of people, amount of work that they had to get done, I'm sure, to get that golf course ready for Friday. I mean, it's just nutty. And then you get that ending, which, you know, with Kuchar, I just am still confused what he was thinking. He tried to explain it and nothing makes any sense. So whatever, man.
Yeah. He's doing it for Grazerman, who's already basically eliminated from the tournament because Rye's already locked it up with a birdie. And he's saying he didn't know, which maybe he didn't, but someone could have radioed down like, "Hey Kuch, just so you know, like you make two more swings here, we could all go home." Like, dude, what are we doing here? And then he goes and gets relief from a scoreboard that was on the other side of trees and shit this morning. Like, what the hell is that all? All I know is between Kevin Price on Twitter, who we had on the show a long time ago.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
And like him, like following it, with, you could hear the snark in his voice basically as he tweeted. That was good. And then the PGA Tour Communications might have the best tweet response of all time. Yeah. So, it's at least. It seemed like it was pretty uniform in the "what the F are we doing here" situation.
It was undefeated. Obviously a very, very unique situation where you have somebody who's 12th in the last group because they didn't, you know, reshuffle, didn't get new groups after the first 18 that they played, because then you just need to get back out there after a little break, I'm sure is what happened there. But the PGA Tour, as boring as it is, sometimes comes up with some of those great moments that will go down in infamy, like Kuchar stiffing his caddy and now stiffing the whole golf tournament.
Well, that's why it was great, because the videos Price was put out shows him on the range by himself, just him with his caddy. Then he goes with a putting green to putt for like five, like this whole freaking, just, it was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. Like it felt like you were probably watching like one of the Latin American tours where there's like six people out here, and like Liv Golf all of a sudden should have been like tweeting out, "Look at, we have bigger." They could have played with that in a big way, but they left it alone because Kuchar's probably going to Liv pretty soon. So I leave that one alone.
Just weird. Weird. I don't even know how to explain it, man.
It was good to see Aaron Rye finally get one, though. The dude's like,
yeah, for sure.
He's been so close for like the last month and a half or so. So that was pretty cool to see.
Right. Yeah. For sure. Yep.
Other than that, the young guys are doing things. And a lot of the people you saw on the end of that leaderboard, we will talk about in the fall in Napa and in probably, you know, Vegas and a couple other places. So that will happen. We'll get to that. But for now, let's move on to the first leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs, as we were talking about here. We've got the FedEx St. Jude's Classic, and we've got a lot of history here, Jesse. So what do you got for us?
Yeah, obviously, it's been played at this same golf course, which is
TPC Southwind.
Yeah, there we go. TPC Southwind for the last 3 years. They had a St. Jude, so they've had a tournament there. It's not been, wasn't included in the playoffs until I think 2022. But anyways, last year, Lucas Glover 15-under in a playoff over Patrick Cantlay. 2022, Will Zalatoris 15-under in a playoff over Sepp Straka. Other event winners at different golf courses: Finau, DJ, Patrick Reed, Bryson. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Those are the only two. I'm not 100% sure what the, because there was, they used to play the St. Jude here like before the U.S. Open. If you remember, do you remember that?
Yep.
Because DJ like withdrew after nine holes to go to the U.S. Open that 1 year. That's the one thing that sticks out in my mind.
Yeah, I was reading up on this. Like, this place, they've had the St. Jude here, and then it went to, and then it, like, you know, the Bridgestone was kind of a weird. They did a WGC here at one point, and then they kind of then they went back to the format we're seeing now. If that makes sense to anybody, so it's had a lot of conglomerations, so a lot of history, different formats is what it comes down to.
Yeah. So 2018, DJ won at this golf course, 19-under 6 shots over Putnam. Berger's won this twice. He won it back to back, 2016, 2017. Harris English, past champion. That's really all that matters.
Yeah, that's all that matters. It's going to be an interesting tournament because, like we kind of joked about earlier, it's the first leg of the FedEx Cup. There's 70 guys here, so it's a T70 in ties, really. But it's a no cut event this week, and then it goes down to like 50, and then down to 30, and we call it a day type situation for the finals. I think that's pretty close to what it is. It changes every year, it feels like. Yeah, it's no cut. You're going to see some guys grinding their balls off. Some guys are locked into East Lake, so on and so forth. So we'll see how that takes place. But like we mentioned, TPC Southwind, Memphis, Tennessee. So you got the hot, humid weather, which will be a lot of fun here because it's a par 70, 7,200, a little less than 7,250. It's like 7,243. Give or take. A lot of water on this golf course comes into play in 11 holes. So it's like we saw in Paris. It's like we've seen in a lot like, you know, Minnesota at TPC Twin Cities, like we see at Sawgrass. A lot of these heavy, heavy water courses. The difference here, just like Paris per se, no cut events. So guys, if they want to get aggressive, they can. It's not the greatest course to get aggressive, though, when all things are said and done. There's 75 bunkers here. Your fairways are zoysia grass, which will come into play because that's a very spongy surface. Some guys like it, some guys don't. We'll see that at East Lake as well, so be prepared for that. The greens are Bermuda grass, very small greens. They're not pebble small, but they're like very close to pebble small. So the key here, and then the rough can be brutal. The Bermuda rough can be brutal. So the fairway is also narrow the farther down they go, so you can't just bomb it everywhere. So a lot of the reading I've seen is it's you want to find the fairway, you want to be selective, you want to be aggressive. A lot of the approach shots are 150 to 175, so middle iron play. You got two par fives, both gettable in two, but that's only two out of the, you know, so 16 other holes to worry about. Most holes are 400 to 500 yards, give or take. And you just got to get hot with the putter on some Bermuda, but you need to find the fairways, good middle iron play, and go get them type situation. It's no cuts, so that helps, but you don't want to be waywarded because it is pretty penal to be in the rough, they're saying. What are you looking at for stats this week?
Yeah, accuracy off the tee, birdie or better percentage, par five scoring, plenty of course history.
Plenty of course history. That is true. So let's get at it. Let's talk DraftKings for the week. And we have five golfers over $10,000, four considering the best golfer in the world. But Scottie Scheffler is at 12-4. It seems like the price never gets high enough, personally, when it comes to Scottie Scheffler, because we weren't here last week to recap the Olympics, but that Sunday in Paris was next level amazing TV.
Yeah,
with Scottie, and like that was just awesome stuff. So he's 12-4. You got Xander at 11-4, who's playing great golf also. Rory's at 11-1, Ludwig at 10-2, and Morikawa at 10,000. So who do you like in the 10K range?
Yeah, I mean, obviously plenty to like up here. Scottie and Xander, it's kind of pick your poison. I'm almost leaning Xander this week, just because of the $1,000 difference, but also Scottie doesn't have a whole lot of good history. 31st last year, missed cut in 22, 14th, 15th, 43rd, missed cut. I mean, so not great course history. for Scotty, even though you would think that this would be a place that he would kind of dominate. So I may end up playing Scotty over Xander, but it's kind of pick your poison there. And then I also really like Colin Morikawa. I mean, he in his four starts here, 13th, 5th, 26th, and 20th, coming off the 16th place finish at the Open Championship. He also played in the Olympics, but I don't have where he finished there. And just been playing solid golf. If the putter gets going, I do anticipate him being toward the top of the leaderboard before the end of the week.
Yeah, we're pretty much on the same page here. Like, I still love Scotty, but I'm always that guy every week, accepting certain tournaments. I will change my mind, but I'll take the $1,000 on Xander when I first saw the price. And I'm like, Xander's been pushing Scotty to try to take over the gauntlet every single week. Now, Scotty basically said, get out of the way in Paris. I got this. But there's no reason. Like, I don't think there's $1,000 we're separating them personally. And I know Scotty's that good. That might be a little crazy to some, but I think Xander's good enough to get a little more respect than that. And I have no problem saving that money. He's seventh in my model. Scotty's first in my model. So do what you wish there. I love Colin. He's third in my model. Everything you said. And this is a guy that literally is just his putter has deterred him from winning right now. That's all it is. His iron plays back. He's always been a mid to long iron machine. He's a fairway finder. He's second in this field over the last 24 rounds in fairways gained. Now we don't have Olympic stats. That does not exist here. But he's third in my model. I love him. The one guy I will mention is Rory McIlroy. Good Sunday finish. Just typical. If he's not in the lead, he does compete on a Sunday. Otherwise, he falls on a Sunday. But I want to bring up Rory because it's 12th, 47th, 4th, 6th, 5th at this golf course the last five treks out here, which is good. Now, the recent form has been really up and down. Like, missed the cut at the Open Championship, but then 4th at the Scottish Open, which is nice. He's 4th in my model. Like, he's first off the tee in the last 24 rounds, 3rd in birdie or betters, 2nd tee to green, 4th in greens and regs, which is big for this, 3rd in the par 4s, 450 to 500. Like, outside of Scotty and Colin, he's ranking out really, really well. So Rory's not a guy I'm just going to completely overlook. I prefer Xander, Morikawa, Scotty, but I think Rory deserves some attention up in this range at 11-1. I think he might get overlooked and get some low ownership on him for the first time in a long time. Then again, I say that and he never becomes low owned. So we'll see how that works.
It's true.
9K range, Fleetwood coming off the – oh, man, I felt so bad for Tommy. If it wasn't for an American winning that, I felt really bad for Tommy. $9,800. Yeah, Cantlay at 97, Hovland 95, Hideki, bronze medalist Hideki Matsuyama at 93, Connors 91, and Henley 9,000. Who do you like in this range?
Let's start with Cantlay at 97. Finished second here last year, 57th the year before, 23rd, 35th, 12th. So it's pretty good finishes there. And he's kind of just been sneaky – pretty good over the last month. 25th at the Open Championship, 5th at the Travelers, 3rd at the U.S. Open. He did miss the cut at the Memorial, but been playing some pretty good golf. Corey Connors, it's just every week. Like, the guy, he just churns out top 25s. Hasn't finished outside the top 27 at this point since the Heritage back in April. And then Henley just rating out really, really, really well in the model based on his performance at the Open Championship where he finished 5th. He's had a great stretch of golf as well and has some okay course history. 6th, miscut, 7th, miscut, 27th. So no cut this week. You don't have to worry about that. So, you know, a couple top 10s in there. So he's got the ability and the to play well around this golf course. So I like Russell Henley a lot this week.
Yep. Henley's guy I got checked off. I just love his iron play. Anytime it's a course that you don't need to be a bomber, you could sit there and he's third in fairways gained over the last 24 rounds. He's fifth on the longer par threes, which is kind of what you see here at Southwind, but he's just a great approach guy. Doesn't really kill you in any one department. As long as he's not having to hit the driver, like he's 58th in this field off the tee. Strokes get off the tee. A lot of that's driver induced. So you take that out of his hand, he can play his game and be very, very accommodating. So I do like Henley quite a bit as well. Love Connors for everything you said. It's like a broken record for us. He's fifth in my model because my model's a heavy fairways approach, that type of situation. That's always going to fit Corey Connors to a tee. It's just a matter of get hot with the putter, maybe sneak in a couple more birdies. And there we go. Because like you said, top 25, he's probably like 3 or 4 birdies away from winning tournaments. It's that little difference when all things are said and done. So like him, I'll always be a Hideki guy. Might be a little more popular this week, which might be a little deterrent for me playing him. But if he gets overlooked like he does a lot of weeks because of his back history or whatever else, I'll jump back there. But winning the bronze will probably get people's attention on him. So might be a week to tone it down a bit there. No love for Fleetwood this week?
I mean, I don't know. You know, he's got decent course history, but he tends to – I don't know. I don't know, but
I don't have any Fleetwood either. I was just asking.
Yeah, I mean, if you played him, I wouldn't talk you out of it. The other problem is, you know, if you're taking one of these top guys, it's hard to fit.
Yes.
Any of these guys in your lineup as well. Yeah, but there are some 6K guys we'll talk about.
There are some 6K guys in a no-cut event. That is most definitely. Let's talk about the 8K guys. This week, though, we got Tom Kim at 89, which honestly, a little cheaper than I expected coming into this field. Finau at 88, Sungjae at 87, Thigala 86, Horschel 85, JT 84, Burns 83, Rye 82, Young 81, and Lowry 8,000. Who do you like in this range?
Yeah, Tom Kim at 89, 14th and 13th, sorry, 24th and 13th in his last two starts at this course. Miscut the Open Championship, 15th Scottish, miscut Rocket Mortgage, second Traveler. So up and down last month for him. He was pretty close to meddling, though, wasn't he, at the Olympics?
Yes, he was. Like, he fell apart late on the back nine. That was a rough one. Yep.
Sungjae is another guy. He's got pretty good course history. 6th, 12th, 46th, 35th, coming off a 41st last week at the Wyndham. 7th and 4th and the two starts before that, the British Open and that at the Open Championship and the Scottish Open. So pretty good last month for Sungjae. Seems like we talk about every week he's trending in the right direction. Billy Horschel has played this course a lot and has played really good golf over the last few months here. 7th last week. That was pretty cool of him to be with Aaron Rodgers. Did you see the pictures of
that? Was I almost messaged you, but I know your love hate relationship with Billy
Horschel. Right, he still has me blocked on Twitter.
Yes, but that was one of those things. Like, okay, he's done a little bit of that lately. You've kind of noticed.
Yeah,
him. He's been a lot more, I guess, personable. Is the way I can
say it. For sure. I think he's actually a pretty good guy, but he still does have me blocked on Twitter. So, but. You know, 7th last week, 2nd at the Open Championship. They missed the cut at the Scottish, but had made a bunch of cuts in a row before that. So Billy at 85 with the course history he has, including a couple top 10s. I like him quite a bit at that price. Sam Burns at 8,300, 52nd, 20th, 2nd missed cut in his last four starts at this golf course, coming off a 12th place finish his last time out at the 3M Open Championship. And seems to be going in the right direction as far as his game, because it's been a last year and a half that's been very poor for what we thought Sam Burns would be when he kind of first burst on the scene. And then Shane Lowry at 8K, 46th, 23rd, 6th, 30th in his last four starts at this golf course, coming off a miscut last week, but was playing really good golf before that. So I anticipate Shane to kind of get back into form this week at $8,000.
Yeah, we're pretty much on the same page for the most part here. Love Tom Kim at 89. He's 9th in my model. Pretty surprised by this price. And like you said, the Olympic was he was pretty darn close. Looked really, really good in that one. He's been trending as well. Sungjae, I'll keep looking at. He's first in birdie or better, 12th in opportunities gained, 9th around the green, like 28th in fairway, so that's better than half the field. He's ranked 19th, so he's playing pretty good golf, just not finishing things off for Sungjae status, but I'll take him at 87. Like, I really like Billy Ho this week. He ranks out 46, but a lot of that stuff he's been doing is it's been of late, it feels like, so it might be like a top, like, back-weighted rating is what I'm trying to say, but I really like what he's doing of late. So Billy Ho at 85, and I have Burns as well. He doesn't rate out well, but the finish here last year at third, he's had some really good performances. He's much better when he's at his A game than an $8,300 guy. He just doesn't consistently put together his A game, kind of like you were saying. But I do like Sam Burns quite a bit at this price point for the course history, let alone the upside that you can use with a Sam Burns at this golf course. Because if it's, you know, you got to find the fairway, you make that a premium, you make an approach game a premium. He's done very well at the Valspar. I was going to say there's a lot of similarities in a situation like that. Like, they're not – they're more, that's more of a tree line course, but a lot of the kind of same golf is what needs to be played there. 7K range, I'll group it all together. Here you got Wyndham Clark, Fitz, Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth, Binion, Brian Harman, Homa, Day, Straka, Davis, Thompson, Seabez, Batia, Siwu, Norin, Pendrith, Bobby Mack, Zalatoris, Bradley, and Minwoo Lee. Who are you targeting in the 7K range?
Start with Adam Scott at 7,700. Fifth here in 2022, 36th, 40th, 10th. To round out his four starts at this event, coming off a 10th place finish at the Open Championship, second at the Scottish Open, playing really good golf right now. Alex Noren at 7,200. Withdrew here in 2022, but finished 12th in 2019. Back-to-back top 13s, 13th at the Open Championship, 10th at the Scottish Open. Didn't have a great Olympics, but I think he'll be fine. Taylor Pendrith at 7,100. One start here, finished 68th, coming off a fifth-place finish at the Open Championship, fifth at the Barracuda as well, so obviously not your most star-studded events, but hit a bunch of greens and sitting his driver pretty accurately as well and just killing par fives at those events. And then last but not least, for me, would be Will Zalatoris. He won here in 2022. And finished eighth in 2021. Three straight miscuts. How did he make the playoffs?
I think that's an amazing question. Because I was when I saw him price down here and I was doing like checking off guys. I'm like, what the heck? Because he had that really like hot start early on where we were all trying to buy back in and then it disappeared. So I am baffled as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very confused. I mean, he finished second at the Genesis, fourth at the Arnold Palmer. That was February and March.
Long time ago.
Yeah. And since then, he has one top 10, and he's off three straight miscuts. I mean,
check something out real quick here. I'm pulling up the overall standings because I'm just curious. He's got to be like, we'll play a game. Where do you think Willie Z's ranked?
Did he have like a great fall swing?
Dude, he's ranked.
He didn't even start playing golf again until
right now. He'd make it to the BMW Championship. He's ranked 49th. I don't know how.
Okay, well, you know, the upside with Will Zalatoris is there. I mean, obviously, three straight missed cuts. He's not going to miss the cut this week. But at $7,000, I think he's worth a gamble, especially if you're playing a bunch of lineups. If you're a single entry guy, I wouldn't play Will Zalatoris, but if you have a lot of lineups, I would sprinkle in some Will Zalatoris this week for sure because the upside is just there, and obviously the course history is good. So I think he's worth a gamble this week.
At 7K, I get it. Like I said, I was kind of baffled by what we saw by Willie Z. It's like miscut at the Open, miscut. I'm just going through 42nd, miscut 41st, 43rd. He finished ninth at the Masters. Like I said, then the API and the Genesis, 13th at Farmers. Yeah, that's really it. That's it. That's wild.
Yeah.
I guess Genesis was an elevated event. Palmer's an elevated event. Masters is the Masters. Maybe just finishing that high in elevated events helped a lot.
I guess because he hasn't done shit since then.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, he's made some cuts, obviously. Making cuts, you're getting points, but.
Yeah, Osh K didn't make last year, and he won the freaking like the Reno Tahoe Open or whatever. So that shows you how skewed this one is. But yeah, that's an interesting one. I was thinking the same thing, and then when I opened that, saw he's actually 49th overall is even worse. I figured like 64th maybe.
Right.
Like
right.
Wow. Yeah. Bonkers stuff. All right, for me in the 8K range, Binion at 76. He's been kind of falling backwards the last few weeks, but I'm still a believer in the iron play. So I don't mind him in a no cut. Brian Harman is somehow second in my model. I think it's because it favors guys on good on the par threes. He's still third in opportunities gained over the last 24 rounds. He's fifth in fairways gained. He's fifth from 150 to 175. So he fits the mold of a guy who doesn't have to bomb it and then plays around the course very smartly. So Harman at 76 is interesting. Jay Day's got good course history. Sepp Straka, sixth in my model. He's first in fairway gains. Sepp's the guy. It's always all or nothing. We talk about it a lot with Sepp Straka. He either finishes in the top like 15 or he misses a cut. Like can't miss the cut this week, but he's usually a great iron player and finds the fairways, which gives him a shot. His iron play has kind of been a little weaker of late, but still He's 10th from 150 to 175. And that's all that matters in the end. He's 8th in greens and regs. So Sepp Straka at 74 is a guy I'd be looking at. Davis Thompson keeps trending in the right direction. He's 16th in my model. He's a birdie-making machine when he gets things going. And if you just look at recent form, because I don't have the Wyndham in here, I know he finished pretty well at the Wyndham, of course. And I got to do that. He's 12th at the Wyndham, 66th at the Open, 46th at the Scottish Open, won the John Deere. So I don't have a problem taking a chance on Davis Thompson at 74. Oshkay at 73. Ashkay, I mean, I'll keep going his direction. I think I would be shocked if he wins again by the end of this calendar year, at least. Maybe not this season, but the calendar year. He's got a great thing going. At 73, I think it's too cheap for him. I love the idea of a Siwoo bounce back. He missed the cut last week as a rather chalky Siwoo Kim. He's still 18th in my model, playing really good golf. When you look at course history here, 65th, 10th in 2018, and 50th in 2017. But just recent form from Siwoo, missed cut at 43rd at the Open, 26th at the Scottish Open. And we've talked about him before. He was like a top 25 machine for a while there. So no problems with Siwoo. Norn will probably be popular, but playing great golf. Bobby Mack got good history here. But a lot of different ways you can go in the 7K range. If you play chalk up top, you can differentiate quite a bit down here. 6K range, Jesse, who do you like?
Yeah, there's plenty to like down here. Matt McNeely finished 31st here in 2022, coming off of 45th at the Wyndham Championship, third at the 3M. Max Grazerman has just been playing like insane golf. Second in his last two starts, which obviously the second place finish last weekend was a complete meltdown, but I like him to bounce back this week. Harris English at 6,800, who has in the past won at this golf course, like I'd mentioned. It was a long time ago, but he's still a past champion at this golf course. Vegas, who won the 3M Open, finished 61st last week, 20th at the John Deere, 25th at Rocket Mortgage, just playing really good golf, which is really strange. His course history is not great, but Taylor Moore at 6,400, 5th here last year, 31st the year before that. Coming off a couple made cuts on tour. EVR at 6,400, 20th here in 2020, has two straight missed cuts on tour. So, but I do like Taylor Moore and Max Grazerman quite a bit in the 6K range here.
Yeah, I love the way Grazerman's playing these days. And yeah, a lot of people might know of him now because of last week, but definitely a guy that's been doing the right things. I like the McNeely call. He's been close a couple times this year, just falls apart on the weekend. Well, no cut event, course history. I think he's real close to getting that championship. So $1,600, I like that. Harris English left with the back injury, did not, he basically withdrew and ruined one of my teams last week, but $6,800, finished great here last year. He does fit this mold perfectly. Just check on his back, because I think it could be a gift. I'll keep playing Ben Griffin. He's 30th in my model, $6,600 for Griffin. This will be his first time here, but he's a guy that's having a great kind of breakout season, I want to say. Finished 7th last week at the Wyndham, miscut 3M, miscut at the Open, 39th at the Scottish Open, 5th at the John Deere. We've seen him near the leaderboard a few times at $6,600. Like, he's very, very good down here. EVR is one, like, in a no-cut event, I'm all for it, because the blow-ups are going to happen with EVR, but he can also shoot 8-under and no problem. Finished 20th here 2 years ago. EVR, and he's coming in with, you know, back-to-back missed cuts in the 39th, the Scottish Open. I'm cool taking a shot there. If you want Austin Eckroat's another guy at 63, he's got a lot of ability to go super low but also be a little volatile, so I'm good there. And Brendan Todd, if you just want somebody boring but could top 20 for you, at $6,100, I don't hate Brandon Todd in that regard either. All right, let's recap things. Jesse, 10K and above, who do you like?
I'm going to say Scotty.
That's fair. Can you name me one without Scotty's name?
Colin.
Collins, and that works. I'll let that one slide. For me, I think I'll go Xander since you took Colin. But, yeah, we've talked about that one enough. 9K range, who do you like?
Henley.
I will go with Hideki, 8K range.
Horschel.
I'll go Tom Kim, 7K.
Adam Scott.
I will go with Brian Harman. I'll take the second guy in my model. Hope it works out. 6K range.
I'll say Grazerman.
I'll say Griffin. So, yeah, both some young guys for us on that one. If you're building a GPP lineup, where are you starting out?
I got Scotty, Billy Horschel, and Max Grazerman.
Scotty, Billy Horschel, and Max Grazerman. To be different, I will go Xander, Tom Kim, and let's go Brian Harman. Let's have some fun with it. Get really weird. Who you got winning this thing?
You know, it's hard not to see Scotty or Xander winning, and the odds are so bad when it comes to those. You know, Xander 7-1, not terrible. I bet on Hideki to win if this would load. I will tell you who else. Hideki at 30, Adam Scott at 50, and Henley at 30. And then I did the live double, Bryson to win live and Scotty to win the St. Jude. And that is almost 33-1.
That's outstanding. Where's live at this weekend?
The Greenbrier.
Oh, there! That's a perfect place for Bryson.
Yeah, I think he shot. Didn't Bryson shoot 58 there last year or something?
I think so. That's very tempting. So I like that. I could see if you're gonna have some fun for some Scotty, 33-1 all of a sudden. That's outstanding, actually.
Right.
Yeah. Take a shot on that and see where it goes. If anybody wants some longer shot top 20s, this is not the week to do it. But God, I'm looking at somebody like Willie Z's plus 225. If you're feeling that, Ben Griffin's 230. This is not a good week.
It's not great. Yeah.
These odds are horrible.
I mean, Peter Maldonado is 12-1 to top 20.
That's funny.
I mean, 12-1.
Did win a tournament this year. Yeah. He only has to beat basically 2/3 of the field.
Right. So we'll go ahead and put $5 on that. I mean,
I like where your gambling head's at.
That seems like an outlier. Like, they
it's
don't
pretty ever... funny where it goes Pavon plus 450. The next guy's Malnati at 1200. Right. Like, there's no good God. He's put Malnati at plus 500 just to make people feel
right. I mean, there's like, no way I bet it at 500, but 12-1, you're gonna be 12-1 on a guy to top 20 in a no cut.
They're gonna have a bunch of people like you putting $5 in there, just like, oh, why not? Which is true. Just
donate, but whatever.
Man, this would be like, you would think this would be a great course for Hughes and Hadwin, but
he's 1,000-1 to win the whole thing.
So it's more for him. No, 1,000.
Yeah, 1,000. Don't 1,000-1 versus 12-1.
That's insane. that's you get Scotty at minus 800 at the top 20 if you're feeling frisky. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
But man, those are some fun odds, folks. They do not want you betting on golf this week.
It's not great.
All right, final thoughts before we head out of here. Next week we have the BMW Championship before the final event of the year.
Yeah, I don't. You know, it's winding down here, so it'll be the President's Cup tie before we know it.
Yep, that'll be a fun one. I'm looking forward to that. And then I always enjoy the artist formerly known as the Fall Swing because you get some fun young golf out there, which is some more Grazermans and stuff like that. So it's always good stuff. We'll play a lot of Kuchar because he needs to make the FedEx. He's made all 17 years. The first year he hasn't had the longest reign in the FedEx Cup. And birdering 18 would not have helped him, by the way.
Right. He wasn't making it.
No.
It would have got him, I think, like $100,000 more, but...
And we know he likes his money. So we've got him $100,000 and his caddy $100. So there you go. and on that note, we're going to head out of here. Make sure you check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick. And for now, this is your Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast previewing the 2024 FedEx St. Jude's Classic. Catch you all next time.